Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Yes, all of us are in the Paracast, not just you, folks. All right. So, Kurt was going to ask a question there of Sarah, and we didn't have time to go through it. Kurt?
Okay, well, I understand that the conversation itself was off the record, but I wanted to ask, what kind of level of detail did she have at her command? And when you asked the question, did she have a ready answer? Just if you could kind of characterize that, you know, without specifics.
Sure. I would say the level of detail in general was not any higher than the information that has become public. So while she was forthcoming and happy to talk about things, details that we had in our in the conversation that I can't go into were not more detailed than the things that were on the record. About how the videos of these UFOs or UAP came to light, what the program actually was. I would say that she had the level of command of and ability to give information that is what we have right now, which is really, at least in my opinion, not very much at all.
The real question was, did she seem to know what was going on?
At the time, when I was there, I would say that they were still trying to figure it out. When I was there, she said that they were still gathering documents and getting briefed on the program. So not then, I would say. That the amount that she knew what was going on is what we knew now, at least as far as I was told.
I'm going to butt in with one more question, and I'm going to let Gene and Randall get in theirs. But okay, this is a fascinating area because you've got access that you know just about no one else has, and pursued this more doggedly than anyone. No one else that I know of has gone in person and talked to him. So I want to examine this a little closely. So when you were talking to her about it, there was something in particular about. I wanted to ask, did you get anything about the sense of how big this program was, how important, and, you know, because there's the impression that it was this large program. We know now that that with the Harry Reid letter that it wasn't funded. It wasn't a special access program. Was this a couple of guys at a desk? I mean, did you get a sense of what ATIP really was?
Yeah, I would say my sense from my conversations at the Pentagon and the reporting after that was that it was not a large program. That I didn't get the sense that a lot of people knew about it or that it was a large program. And I think even the budget kind of bears that out. $22 million is not, it's a lot of money to me. But it's not a lot of money to the Pentagon. And I kind of, my overall sense is that it was a small program that mostly flew under the radar.
Okay. Thank you.
Something I really like about your book while I was reading it, and I think the best way to describe it is just to read a little short piece, if you don't mind.
Sure, go for it.
Okay. This is from your book. It seemed, although air does not have a color, to be yellower. Like it was in its own transition lens, it got colder. The colors of the pines, the subalpine grasses, and the sky itself seemed matte. Although I hadn't thought of them as glossy before, the scene became perspectiveless, depthless, like a flat medieval painting where everything is right in front of you. That is just fantastic. I love
it. Thank you.
And you read it so well.
It's stuff like that that really makes this book worth reading. You know, it's not just about UFOs. It's about experiencing what it's like to be out on the trail investigating something otherly. And that really came through, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, it was I felt like it was important for me to try to experience that and to try to find for myself, you know, the sense of the sense of wonder and discovery and things like that that I think that people investigating UFOs have had. And then to bring that onto the pages of the book, I'm actually don't have, I have been a journalist for a long time now, but I actually went to school for first astronomy and then fiction writing, so I can thank my fiction writing degree for helping me write some descriptive sentences. But
have you written some fiction too?
I have. It's been a long time, but on my website there's some old short stories that were published around the time that I was in graduate school.
So what was it like then to go on this journey? Tell us just some more about it.
Yeah, so I guess it began, the passage you read was from my experience of the solar eclipse that happened a few years ago when I was in Wyoming, and it was my first UFO sighting, which kind of prepared me to be going on this journey, as we call it. It was a strange experience where I felt like I was on the planet that I'd lived on for my whole life, but all of a sudden it was very different, and it seemed to me like I was on somebody else's planet. And then, you know, that night I was just, you know, I was camping, I was hanging out with friends, and we would go stargazing every night before we went to bed. And I saw what I thought was a satellite and what turned out to be a satellite. But going overhead, and then all of a sudden a bright kind of spotlight from it came and swung down and pointed right at, my friends and me. And for a second, we were all like, how does that insane spacecraft know that we are here, and what does it want with us? And I think that really, to start with, gave me the perspective on what it might be like to have a truly unexplained sighting. And, you know, ours turned out to be a satellite from the Iridium constellation, just flaring when the sun shines up against it. But I think it really gave me that sense of what it can, how it can affect someone's life. And so from there, you know, I tried to go seek out the UFO hotspots. I went to Roswell, to the Roswell UFO Festival, and hung out at Area 51 a couple times. Went to a little town called Sunspot, which I don't know if it's mostly fallen off of people's radar, but it was a solar observatory that the FBI evacuated and wouldn't tell anyone why. And I went there to try to figure out how conspiracy theories start. And so, yeah, that's kind of the overview of a few of the places that I went. And it was mostly me road tripping around the American West, trying to go to spots where other people had meaningful UFO experiences.
You had during all of this too, you did take in some UFO conferences, and your book has some interesting things to say about those as well. Maybe you could just give us an overview of how that played out for you.
Sure. Yeah. The first one I went to was in February 2018. So it was pretty soon after I started researching and writing about UFOs and ATIP and everything. And I saw that this big conference was coming up, and I thought, you know, I haven't had a chance to interact with anyone in person. And I don't know, I'm a little bit of an old school reporter in that way. And I think it's really important to go meet people and talk to them in person when you can. Although I haven't met Kurt, even though I interviewed him. But so I flew out to Phoenix and attended the International UFO Congress, and which is a pretty big conference. And it, what struck me about it was you could go from a talk about a secret space program where we have military bases on Mars or on the backside of the moon to a booth where someone was offering to put you in touch with, you know, the aliens who are part of our political sphere. Or then you could go.
I've been to the International UFO Conference occasionally because I live in the Phoenix area. But we'll get into more of that in our next segment, okay, with Sarah Jean Randall.
And Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a 1-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, let's get back to that international UFO conference near Phoenix, Arizona. Okay, we're talking to Sarah Scholes, author of They Are Already Here. You attended the convention and you see that a wide variation of people come there, from serious scientific people. Dr. Jacques Vallée was there once, James Fox, who was the director of this new movie, The Phenomenon, So wide variation of people, the late Stan Friedman, etc. Now,
yes,
I read a story about one of those conventions, Sarah, and I don't know if it's the one that you were at, but they colored the story to suggest it was all for abductees to commiserate with one another. Interesting way of interpreting it.
That is interesting. I was mostly left out of that. I mean, there were abductee sessions of this conference, but actually the ones, at least at the International UFO Congress, specified that no reporters were allowed, I think, so you wouldn't go listen to people's stories and then write about them. So that was going on, but I wasn't privy to any of it. Yeah, the wide spectrum of people, from people showing documents known to be hoax all the way to, like you said, very scientific presentations, some statistical work, or also cultural analysis, kind of like I was doing. And I went to a talk kind of at the end of the conference by Robbie Graham, who talked about how ufology can be, for some people, like a religion. Then I started to think of the conference as like a religious gathering for everyone, from true believers to agnostics to even atheists or UFO atheists or UFO skeptics. And I thought it was pretty cool, actually, that all of these people got together, and I didn't see anyone fighting. I think people got along and were just sharing ideas, which doesn't happen very often these days.
In your book, you talk about it, you compare it to being like a big tent event, the gathering of a group of sects, militants, agnostics, spiritual, not religious types. It's really interesting. I have never been to a UFO conference, and yet I've been into ufology for practically my whole life. One of these days I've got to get out to one.
Yeah, you should check it out.
Because there we go with the whole cultural aspect of it again. It is huge. I think probably it is the biggest part of the whole subject matter when you really look at it these days. Because when it comes to science, and being a science writer, you can tell me if my opinion on this is way off or not, but it seems to me that science requires a certain kind of evidence. It needs to be scientifically verifiable, for one thing, if not material. There just isn't enough of that to do any, I guess, for lack of a better term, what I would call real science. We're just looking at reports more than anything else.
I want to jump in here because I've heard people compare the study of black holes and dark matter and string theory. There's a lot of things that science is dealing with that we're not able to touch and examine yet. And so they say, well, why not UFOs? So, you know, Sarah, what do you think about that comparison?
Yeah, it's an interesting comparison, especially because all of astronomy, even the stuff that's not about black holes, it's all just, you know, photons coming from far away. You can't perform an experiment on a distant star or an exoplanet. You know, you do get some hard data. But I'm gonna counter that with something that somebody told me the other day that I had never thought of exactly, which is that astronomers and those types of physical scientists are not actually the ones who you would want to be interested in this stuff anyway, because it's not their type of data. Like, they are interested in celestial objects far away, and whatever these things are, they're close, and you wouldn't get data on them from telescopes. You want a different kind of scientist, maybe an engineer, maybe a type of scientist that doesn't exist yet. I do think you're right that not all scientists deal in the same types of tangible data, tangible objects, in the same way. Trying to keep track of my thoughts.
It's a complex subject because it's not a just black or white issue. For me, it seems like, okay, when you have something like going back to MUFON or the Mutual UFO Network, which you talk about in your book to some degree, I mean, their motto is the scientific study of UFOs for the betterment of humanity, something along those lines. Well, they're claiming that they can scientifically study UFOs. Right. Mm-hmm. So astronomers, mm-hmm. Well, they're going, we're scientifically studying stars. We can see them. They're repeatable. Mm-hmm. We've got information by way of electromagnetic spectrum that comes off them at predictable times. So we can study them. UFOs, not so much. Yeah, it seems to me that really, if in ufology, if we're going to claim we're doing scientific study of UFOs, we're just setting ourselves up to be accused of pseudoscience. Personally, this is what I think.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, scientific knowledge is not the only type of knowledge. There are plenty of other disciplines and ways of looking at the world. Like, history is a very valid field of study, but it's not science either. And so I think maybe trying to pigeonhole ufology into the traditional definition of science maybe isn't even the best way to go. It's just something different. Although, kind of related to what Kurt was saying, I did a little bit of research into this concept called boundary work, which sociologists talk about when they talk about scientists and how they defend their territory of what counts as science and what counts as data and what doesn't, and how that kind of changes over time. And maybe 150 years ago, we would have said trying to study black holes was pseudoscience because we couldn't collect any information really about what they were or were not. And so time changes, science changes, data changes, and the same thing could potentially happen to ufology later, and it could be welcomed into the scientific fold.
I tend to think that there is a portion of ufology that, if it were possible to study scientifically with valid scientific protocols, that there's a place for that. But that in the meantime, we've got this larger, much larger cultural aspect of it. For example, we've got movies like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. You don't really, I mean, cinematography, sure, you could say there's a science to it, I suppose. But still, I mean, it was in 2007 that it was added to the Library of Congress's National Film Registry, which is the United States Film Board's preservation board selection of films deserving preservation because of their cultural significance. So when something that big and important happens that has nothing to do with science, that represents a huge portion and aspect of the field as a whole, I don't think that we can separate ufology as a science from that. I think we need to take it all in together, and that probably ufology belongs more in the humanities than it does in the physical sciences.
Not only does ufology have its own culture, but it, like you're pointing out with this movie, it impacts broader culture in huge ways. And it's actually, I don't want to get the statistic wrong, but it's something like 68% of people, you know, believe that the government is hiding information about UFOs. And that is more people than agree on, you know, most things. Like, there's just most people out there have some idea.
We got a break it here. We'll pick up on the next segment. More to come. Sarah Jean Randall. Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Vice President Mike Pence and wife Karen tested for the coronavirus because one of Pence's staff members has tested positive.
If you don't have symptoms, don't do a test. It is another way that the American people can make sure that we are preserving the resources that our healthcare workers need to minister and to support those who are dealing with the coronavirus and other illnesses.
They tested negative for the virus. In the past 24 hours, 793 people have died in Italy.
It's not only Italy's deadliest day, but the deadliest day so far. Swamped hospitals could be our new reality, warns Dr. Michael Ryan of the World Health Organization.
This is not normal. This isn't just a bad flu season. These are health systems that are collapsing under the pressure of too many cases.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Back, and Randall wants to talk about something with our special guest.
Yeah, just to finish up with where we left off before the break there, we're back to knowing and believing, but I think anyone that does their homework can tell that, yes, the government in the past has definitely known more about it than they were telling us, because one of the people you go through in your book, again, you cover Greenwald and the Black Vault and so on, he has dug up all kinds of information out of the Freedom of Information Act that shows that where they were saying one thing and behind the doors, other stuff was going on. I mean, this just continues to come out year after year after year. Are we really supposed to believe now that they still don't know more than we do when they've got the most advanced detection systems on the planet? I think it's pretty reasonable to see why so many people believe the government knows more than we do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with that. And I think there's a line somewhere in the book to the effect of, you know, governments are going to government, and the way that they have behaved in the past is probably the way they're behaving now. So there's really no reason to think that the present is different from what's happened before.
Curtis, you've got a question.
I have to admit, I have not read the book. I'm only about three chapters in. I like what I see, and certainly I like the opinions and the thought that you've put into things in this discussion. So, you know, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, but I wanted to ask you kind of, what would different people tend to get out of this book? Is a ufologist going to be interested in this? A scientific minded person that's interested in things in general. You know, what are they going to take away from this book? You know, how do you think different people will, what will they find in it?
Yeah. Well, for ufologists, I like to think that what I try to do with each chapter is kind of look at UFOs and UFO culture through a different lens. So like one chapter is about the government's history and conspiracies and cover-ups, and one chapter is about, trying to investigate things scientifically, and another is about religious aspects or things like that. So what I hope for ufologists is that some chapter, some section of it represents their part of the UFO world, and that they see themselves reflected accurately there. And that then, I don't know, even if you are the science-minded UFO person, all these other types of ufology exist around you. And so I think it's important for anyone in a community to kind of know the full spectrum of what's going on. So hopefully it can do a little bit of that illumination. For science-minded people, I think what I hope, science-minded non-UFO people, so scientists or lay people who are interested in science but don't know much about ufology, I would hope that they would come to have the change of mindset that I had after I started working on the book, which is that, you know, ufology is full of interesting, smart people doing really good work, and also that aside from that, the idea of the UFO, you shouldn't just dismiss its reality or not. You should be interested in it, I think. And so maybe undoing a little bit of that boundary work that I mentioned before of who counts and who doesn't in scholarship and serious science. And for just people who don't know anything going into the subject, hopefully, I don't know, maybe it inspires them to explore the topic a little bit, or maybe take a road trip to Area 51. And for all of them, I guess I just hope that they enjoy reading it and don't burn it or throw it across the room.
Hey, well, I wanted to ask you, Sarah, what kind of reaction have you had so far to the book? I know it was only published early in March, but what have you heard?
Yeah, I've had a whole mix of things, which I think is good. I think some of my science journalist colleagues and I have had conversations about it from that perspective of, you know, taking a little bit more seriously these areas that a lot of people think of as pseudoscience, and some people in my field saying that it's helped them to think of it that way. And some ufologists who like it and think that a cultural commentary on what's going on in ufology is good. And some people like the investigation into ATIP in the Pentagon program, which I think, you know, a lot of that is other people's research that I pulled together with my own research. And then there are a fair number of UFO people who don't like it, who don't like the criticism of ATIP and To the Stars Academy and the hard look that I took at that, and also who don't necessarily like being put under a looking glass as a community and being commented on from the outside, which is fair.
I like it. No, I think this is good. I think people in ufology need people outside ufology to tell us what it's like from outside the ketchup bottle. I really do.
Good. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I got into a Twitter fight. I hope I didn't ruin the chances for your book. But, you know, there were some people that were slamming it. And, you know, I basically said, we've wanted the media. We wanted people with the scientific background interested in ufology. You've got that. And, you know, you're not going to like everything she says, but you invited these kind of people in. Why are you fussing about it now?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I think, I mean, I'm biased because it's my book, but I think it's true. I think if you want mainstream attention, you have to take what comes with that, which is that people aren't going to like everything that I have to say. And, you know, I don't like everything that they have to say. So, but I also think it's okay for us to disagree. It's okay for them to not like everything I have to say, but hopefully they'll think it's worth reading at least.
Well, there are, and it, you know, I don't like to have to admit that this goes on. When I look at ufology, I tend to be as objective as I can. I look at the whole thing, the positive and the negative, and the whole thing as one big group of things that you can put inside a box and say, all of it is ufology. And in there, there's some pretty dark stuff. And we've had people come on in the past who've been skeptical, really nice people. Like I mentioned, Sharon Hill, she won't even do interviews anymore. Not because of us. We loved her. But there are people who run into some pretty negative characters out there, and it's part of something to look out for. So, you know, I hope you don't run into that, but part of what I wanted to ask you is, coming into it from the outside, were you able to see the territoriality that was going on in with the conferences and the different players?
Yeah, I think I was. I'm sure coming from the outside, I don't have a full handle on it, but I think it helped that I kind of came into it at the same time that the ATIP story was breaking, because I feel like there were a few sides to that. There were people who had been around for a while, who had some experience with the history of ufology and the history of dealing with government programs and things like that, who were a little more skeptical of this coming in. And then I feel like there was this whole largely new group of people who got into it because of this this program and the private company to the Stars Academy that popped up around the same time. So those were the two territories that I saw right away. And then later I saw the others, like the like kind of grassroots community stuff, like the MUFON meetings that I attended here, where people were like really not even connected to UFO internet at all, but just kind of doing their own on the ground thing. And then the spiritual or consciousness related things. But yeah, the fans of To the Stars Academy and the ATIP program versus the people who wanted to take a more critical look at it was the biggest territory thing that I saw going on right away.
We have other things going on. Okay. And we have this fascinating book that I have to get to reading myself. They Are Already Here is the book. Sarah Scholes is the guest. Kurt Collins joins us on the panel with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We've got Sarah Scholes, the book They Are Already Here. We're looking at the UFO culture, with Kurt Collins, Randall, and Gene. Kurt, you have a question?
Have read enough of your book and talked to you a little bit, and I understand that you were inspired by the movie Contact. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, I had always been interested in astronomy since I was very, very young. And then the movie Contact came out when I was about 12 years old. And for anyone who hasn't seen the movie, this is about a scientist who is searching for extraterrestrial intelligence using radio telescopes, and then she gets a signal, she finds a broadcast, builds a spaceship, and tries to go meet them. And I won't spoil the ending, but that's the gist of it. And I was very obsessed with this movie when I was a kid, and I would make my parents go Blockbuster all the time and rent it and rewatch it. What was fascinating to me about it was, I had been interested in aliens for a long time. I used to sit around my house drawing fake planets and the fake beings that I thought would live there. But even through all that, I didn't know that it was anyone's job to be investigating that scientifically. And I also didn't know that it was anyone's job or that it was possible to point a telescope at the universe and collect radiation that you couldn't see with your eyes. So there was this whole invisible universe out there that I didn't know about at all. And so those two things, the ability to use science to answer these big questions, are we alone? What are we doing here? How did the universe evolve? I found that to be fascinating. And right after I watched the movie, I decided that I wanted to be a radio astronomer. I decided I wanted to do SETI, maybe. Yeah, I was just totally inspired by this movie.
I don't think we've mentioned your first book, have we?
I don't think so. No.
Let's hear a bit about that.
Okay. So the main character of that movie, who is played by Jodie Foster, is based on a real scientist named Jill Tarter, who I mentioned earlier, I guess. She spent about 40 years heading up the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. I wanted to write a book, and so I was trying to think about what would I like for long enough to spend to write, you know, 250 pages on it. And I thought back to what had inspired me the most when I was little, and I thought about Contact and SETI. And then I wrote Jill Tarter an email and said, "Can I write your biography? No one's done it yet." And so it took a little doing, but eventually she said yes. And so I moved to California and spent a bunch of time with her and just chronicling her life, going through her photo albums, shadowing her to meetings, and wrote up the story of her life and study and how it's progressed since the 60s.
How fascinating.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's like some kind of lottery ticket winner there, that email. How do you connect like that? That is amazing.
Well, actually, it goes back to the Green Bank Observatory. The first week that I started my job there was the 50th anniversary of the first search for extraterrestrial intelligence that had taken place there. And so there were all these famous SETI people who'd come to the conference, and my boss, actually, she knew I didn't know how to do anything yet because I just started my job. So she said, "Why don't you drive this bus of famous SETI people down to the telescope?" And when I did that and then drove them back and didn't crash it, somebody left their purse on the bus, and I pulled out the wallet to look at whose it was, and it was Jill Tarter. And I was like, "Here is my lottery ticket. I get to give Jill Tarter back her purse."
Wow.
So I chased her down and gave it back to her, and she remembered it. So when I wrote her the email that said, "Hey, can I write this book?" I said, I'm that kid who returned your purse a couple of years ago. So I'm a good person, and I can totally write a book.
That's okay. Now we believe in synchronicity, I think.
Right. It's all
wonderful.
A simulation. Yeah, no, it was great. It was very good.
But in on one thing real quick, because you just reminded me of something. My brain is basically mush right now because I've been researching some stuff. And a lot of it involves Robert Bigelow, and I happen to come across Jill Tarter's name in connection with him. And I'm going to have to find where I ran across it. But the story was that they were together at some event, and he brought up the topic of UFOs, and he saw whatever her reaction was, whether she stiffened up. He realized that he should drop the topic. Do you happen to know anything about her interaction with Robert Bigelow?
No, I don't. I would like to, though. I'd be interested in reading that story. I mean, I guess it doesn't surprise me that they crossed paths, but she never mentioned it, and I never found it, but that's fascinating. And I guess it wouldn't surprise me that she had that reaction about UFOs. She's not really a fan, but she is willing to look at evidence where it exists. So she doesn't totally dismiss it.
Well, of course, Contact, that was written by Carl Sagan and adapted for film by he and his wife, Anne Druyan. Mm-hmm. So Carl Sagan, of course, being the famous astrobiologist, scientist, maker of Cosmos, very popular series back in the day, one I would not miss. And a couple of the things, I love the movie, too. I've got it on Blu-ray. And here's just a few little parallels between Contact and ufology. So SETI scientists receive an alien message through their radio telescope. Similarly, real UFOs have been tracked on radar, which uses similar technology. In the movie Contact, the main character is transported to an alien world where she communicates with an alien intelligence, yet she is unable to secure any proof that that experience actually happened. Similarly, real-life UFO witnesses and investigators know what they experienced is real, yet the only ones who can truly empathize with them are those who have been through the same process. Real scientists have worked on both real-life SETI projects and real-life UFO projects, including Carl Sagan himself.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And there's a very powerful scene at the end of Contact where the main character, Ellie Arroway, is called before Congress to testify about her experience that she has no proof of. And she is kind of in the position that she has criticized others for being in the past of having no proof, but saying, "I know this happened to me and I wish that you could experience it, but I can't give that to you and you're just going to have to believe me or not. So yeah, it's an interesting parallel and an interesting reversal.
It's definitely an interesting development in character, because when you see her on the way to the big dish, well, she was in, I think in the film, she was working at the VLA, the very large array. And when she was on the road, there were all these UFO culture people on the side with their trailers and alien heads and Peace and Space Brothers. And she's just looking at them like, oh, brother, like those people, they are way out there, you know? And then she has that experience herself. I don't know, was it Matthew McConaughey, right? I mean, okay, the religious side of things, I don't know. I still have a bit of trouble with ufology being compared, you know, seriously to a religion. You know, maybe that's just because I'm inside the ketchup bottle and I'm not religious. So to me, it's like, no, you know, you're accusing me of being religious. I'm not religious.
Yeah, I mean, as a person who's drawn that parallel, I will have to, I will say for myself, when I talk about it that way, I'm only talking about a specific subset of people who do think of it that way. I definitely don't think that everyone who's doing ufology interacts with it that way.
Sarah, we're going to break in about a minute, and I want to throw a question out here that maybe you can answer in our next segment, which is, people who claim to have been in contact with higher beings, extraterrestrial intelligences, etc. We know the example of the Jodie Foster character in the movie Contact, which I also enjoyed very much. But in our real world, as opposed to the REEL world, we have these people who claim these ongoing experiences. We can date them back many decades. And, of course, over the centuries, there have been people who claim to have been in touch with higher beings. What is your assessment of them? Are they dreaming? Have they had something real happen to them that we don't understand and they don't understand? Is somebody manipulating them to believe these days they're space brothers? So complicated. 1,000 questions and more. Sarah Scholes, the book is They Are Already Here. Our ads are already here. You'll listen to them now with Gene, Sarah Randall, and Kurt Turin.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.